Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. Helen Keller.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. Now, normally we start the show out with my favorite oil and a recipe pulled from our community submitted DIY dugout. But today, for time's sake, we're going to skip all that and go straight to the content. For today's episode, what I've done is taken the recording that we did from our last Essential Oil Insiders group. Normally, these calls are exclusive just for our insiders. We do about a 30-minute interview and then about a 30-minute Q&A after that, where our insiders are allowed to ask our special guests any question they want. That month's special guest was Lindsay Elmore, who I'll introduce here in a moment. And I wanted to share this recording because I want you all to get an insight of what it's like in our exclusive Essential Oil Insiders group, which you can learn more about on our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders. The entire call was over an hour. We had such a great time. Our insiders loved getting to interact with Lindsay Elmore. I cut it down for time's sake here for the show, just to give you a glimpse of what it's like.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
So the lovely Lindsay Elmore, for those who aren't familiar with your work, you have your doctor in pharmacy degree and your board certified pharmacotherapy specialist. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know exactly what it is and can hardly pronounce it, but it sounds like you're a very smart lady.
Well, thank you.
I love how you are such a reputable source. People can trust you. And then to boot, you're just an amazing human being all around. And I love that you make science of essential oils super easy for everyone to follow every time
you talk about
nutrition, supplements, oils. It's just like, oh, that makes sense. Thank you. So thanks for being here. I want to focus first on your book. It is called Essentials, 50 Answers to Common Questions About Essential Oils.
Well, now we've got 75 answers to common questions. So yes, 75.
I love it. Okay. Well, so I love the book and I love in the preface, you say that this book answers questions with the research skills of a pharmacist and the practical experience of a product user. So yeah. It sort of prompted this question in me. I'm curious, what was it like for you as a researcher to kind of wade through the massive amounts of studies and research out there on essential oils? Like, how do you know which studies you can trust? How are they conducted? And then like, how do you quantify all of that to, you know, in a book for the layperson?
Well, I gotta say, I'm such a nerd science geek that for me, it was honestly very exciting and very entertaining to go through all of the data. And I have a background as being a pharmacist. And during your training as a pharmacist, you generally take classes about research methods and about how to analyze research studies. So I had all of that background going on. So I knew the difference between a clinical trial, an in vitro study, an in vivo study, an animal study. I knew the difference between case series, meta-analyses, all those different types of research papers that can be out there. And I just took the essential oil research and the supplement research that I did and just said, you know what? I want to make sure that I am approaching this in the exact same way that I would a pharmaceutical. Not necessarily that I was saying, okay, these are pharmaceuticals and you should use them as such. But what I was saying was I am going to take my research skills, that analytical eye, and place it on this set of data. And then that allowed me to really talk about essential oils and supplements in very practical terms, which I think is important. I think people make essential oils very theoretical. I didn't want theoretical, you know, I didn't want to say, I didn't want salacious. I did not want to scare people into reading the book. I simply wanted to be a voice of reason in a field where reason did not often exist.
Absolutely. That really shows in the book as well. So, okay, this is a question not directly pulled from the book, and it's probably one you're honestly a little tired of answering, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have top three essential oils that you would recommend everyone have on their shelf, and why those three?
I think really and truly it gets back to basics. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody needs a peppermint oil in their life. Everyone needs a lavender oil in their life. Everybody needs a frankincense, and really everybody needs a lemon. And so if you can get those four, you can pretty much do anything and everything, you know? And so I really get back to basics. Peppermint for all things to support digestion, lemon for all things cleaning, frankincense for all things meditation, and lavender for all things.
All things, yeah.
All the things, you know? Do I need to wake up? Do I need to go to sleep? Do I need to have a cut, a scrape, whatever it is? You know, all the things.
Yeah.
So just get back to basics and don't make essential oils so dang complicated. They don't have to be complicated. They can be really simple. Instead of, you know, I think people focus too much on theory and they get hung up on a lot of cray cray headlines, but you don't have to do that.
Yep. Birds of a feather, you and me. I've been preaching that, yeah, for a long time.
Yep.
So an interesting section I loved from your book was about patch testing, because I know that's a lot of people have concerns when they buy an oil. They're like, well, how is my body going to react to it? So a lot of times the recommendation is do a patch test. So tell us, what's the proper way to do a patch test and read those results?
The typical way to do a patch test is to find a relatively sensitive piece of skin. So you don't want your most sensitive skin and you don't want your least sensitive skin. And so typically people do this on the forearm. And so all you do is just place your essential oil onto your forearm, and that is then going to be observed 15, 20, 30 minutes, couple hours, however long you want. And just be sure that you are observing the area for any redness, any itching, any irritation. And some people say to occlude the area. I don't think that you have to occlude the area and put a big patch on top of it, but you just observe it. See if you have any adverse reactions to it. And if so, well, that's not the essential oil for you to use, or you need to dilute it in some kind of carrier oil. But patch testing is nothing more than just placing it on a small area of skin, observing it, and seeing if anything happens.
Right. And doing that undiluted, obviously, because then you can really see how you are. And what is occlude? For people who don't know, and that's not me that I'm talking about.
Occlude is when you place a dressing over the top of the essential oil, and that is going to bandage it in. It reduces airflow and honestly increases the risk that you will have some sort of adverse effect.
Okay,
and so some people like to occlude it just so they have the really in-depth experience, but I find it's not necessary, because in general, unless you're going to put an essential oil under your skin and then bandage it, it's not reflective of how we typically use our essential oils.
Exactly. So you say there are two major mistakes one can make while using essential oils: not using them at all or using way too much. So what is way too much in your opinion, and what happens if we use too much?
Really, you don't need more than a couple of drops. A couple of drops will easily do the job. If you're getting into a situation where you are using more than like a half a milliliter of an essential oil at any given time, you're using too much of it. You do not need a milliliter of essential oils to make a difference. You need a small amount used regularly to make the big difference. And so friends, don't let friends use massive amounts of essential oils. This is not a situation where if a drop is good, then five is always better. That's not necessarily the case. And we need to use essential oils in small amounts, because that's the way they're designed to be used. They're heavily, heavily concentrated molecules.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the internet can be a little cray-cray and sensationalized.
Yep.
And I find that one of the biggest targets, I feel kind of bad sometimes for lemon oil. I'm like, poor lemon oil gets beat up on all the time.
Totally.
It's often painted as dangerous to take internally and can wreak havoc on your teeth, your esophagus, your stomach, due to the citric acid concentrations. Let's break this down. Is this true?
So here's the thing. Acids and oils do not mix. They're like at opposite ends of your pH spectrum. And so you don't have to worry about this being a problem because it doesn't even make any kind of sense that this would have citric acid in there. There is no acid in any kind of the lemon essential oils because all of the chemical constituents that are in there are fat soluble. They are not water soluble. And so people say the same thing about lime. They say it about lemon and grapefruit and all of the citrus fruits, but it is simply not true that it can cause problems for your teeth and for your esophagus, et cetera.
If we compare, so explain a little further for me the differences between like a lemon essential oil, for example, and if you were to juice a lemon and let's say put it in your smoothie or your water and drink it. So are there different benefits to both? How, you know, let's break that down a little further.
Well, for sure. So if you get the juice from a lemon, you're getting all of the water soluble chemical constituents. You're getting a little bit of essential oil, but not really a lot of it. You're getting enough to give the plant an aroma, but you're not getting a concentrated plant extract. So sure, if you get lemon juice, you're also going to get water-soluble vitamin C. You're going to get different water-soluble flavonoids and polyphenols and all of these chemical constituents that are found within plants. But you also get a dose of citric acid, which is what is acidic that makes the orange juice, the lemon juice, give that pucker feeling. And so the thing is, when you use a lemon essential oil, you are only extracting the small, fatty, and compact chemical constituents. And so therefore, you're not going to get a big dose of vitamin C. You're not going to get citric acid because it is an acid. And so on the pH scale, oils do not appear because oils do not have free hydrogens that govern our pH. So it's just completely different chemical constituents between using the juice, which is primarily water-soluble chemical constituents, and the essential oil, which is going to be oily chemical constituents.
Okay, so then let's move on. I'm interested in knowing about essential oils and the liver. What kind of effects, positive or negative, do essential oils have on the liver?
Both. They absolutely have both. And so essential oils have been shown to help clean out the liver. They can have powerful cleansing properties. But in excess, they can completely overwhelm the liver and completely deplete all of your glutathione stores and really take a toll on your liver. So again, this goes back to don't overuse your essential oils, especially when it comes to ingestion. You simply don't need it. I honestly am not the biggest fan of people ask me all the time, what essential oils can I use to detox my liver? I'm not the biggest fan of using essential oils to detox the liver because you simply don't know if your liver is already overloaded, what do you do? And so I prefer, so I'm going to drop a couple of links into the comments. The first goes back to your last question, which is about essential oils and teeth. And then really and truly my favorite way to help support the liver is through a process called castor oil packs. And so you're using fatty oil to help to mobilize blood to the liver. You're using fatty oil. So castor oil has been shown to increase your lymphocytes in the liver, really help you to clean things out. And I prefer to use essential oils alongside this routine, as well as, guys, if your colon is not cleaned out, your liver is not going to get cleaned out. And if you're eating a crappy diet, it's not going to clean out the liver. You have to make dietary interventions to really make a big difference with your liver. And so if you really want to dive deep into this cleansing process that you can, come and check out my other website. It's called cleanslatecleanse.com. I'd love to have you come and check it out and really look at what the literature shows us is that essential oils have differential effects on the liver. But we know castor oil packs have been shown to have benefits. And we also know that dietary changes have been shown to have benefits. And so that combined with your essential oil routine is the way to go.
Okay. So my last question for you, and then we'll move on to some listener questions. And we've kind of touched on this a bit, but I'm just curious, why do you think it is that there's so much controversy and polarization around the use of essential oils?
The way that we think about data is broken. Typically, the gold standard clinical trial is a randomized control trial. Well, randomized control trials work really, really well if you say, I have this one marker that I want to see if I can impact it. I have either a placebo or a standard drug, and I'm going to compare the new drug to it. And I am going to show that it is either not as effective, as effective, or more effective than the previous option. The problem with essential oil research is that it's very hard to do a comparator group. How do you do a randomized clinical controlled trial that is blinded?
Right.
The essential oils kind of have an aroma.
Right.
So even if you're doing sham aromatherapy, like I've seen clinical trials where they say, okay, group one gets the intervention, which is lavender, and group two gets standard of care, which is just grapeseed oil, or which is parsley essential oil. Well, the thing about it is you can smell the lavender, and a lot of people can put two and two together that, hey, I'm in the active group instead of in the placebo group. If you compare one essential oil to another essential oil, you run the risk of not being able to see the true benefit, because what if the comparator essential oil also has similar benefits? The other thing that I think holds back essential oil research is that the effects of essential oils, there's simply so many of them. And each person responds so differently to essential oils. And so it makes a big difference if you say, here's one thing of lavender. In this person, it did this. In this person, it did that. In this person, it did this. That's great. That's wonderful. That's what makes essential oils so special and makes them so very challenging to study.
It's a huge problem that, and you're right. On one side, it's the money, right? How do you fund it? And on the other side, it's just the nature of the essential oils makes them so hard to quantify. So really at the end of the day, I mean, my advice for listeners out there going, well, then like, what do I do? Just do you, right?
Oh my gosh.
Just do you.
Yes. Don't be afraid. Just use the essential oil. Just use the oil. That's all there is to it.
And observe, like, what happens next?
Yes.
How do you feel? How does the internet tell you to feel? That doesn't matter.
For sure.
How do you feel?
Yes. Right? Don't worry about how the internet tells you to feel. People get all up in arms about the newest headline: this essential oil is going to kill us all. That essential oil was just found to be, you know, essential oil causes cancer. Okay. And then you pull the paper and you read it and you're like, okay, well, when they dropped essential oils directly onto this one very particular type of cancer cell in a petri dish, they got more cancer cells. There's never a study that says this person actually got this disease from this oil. There's a lot of theory out there. So the next time that you read one of the crazy, crazy headlines, that your instinct is to let it scare you, take a step back and remember that the very definition of news means that it has to be newsworthy. In the grand scheme of the world, we are doing A-OK.
I'm into that.
So for our podcast listeners, I want to interrupt so we can have a quick break to thank our sponsors, of course. And then when we come back in, I'm going to play for you all just two of the Q&A questions that Lindsay Elmore answered for our insiders group. On our live insiders call that night, we had so many questions that were answered. I think there's probably at least 10. And we had people on the live call who were submitting their questions directly to Lindsay Elmore. And it was just so much fun. I wanted you all to get a glimpse of what that was like. And if you want to be there for our next live Q&A session, there's still time to come in. Our next expert is going to be an animal and essential oils expert. So if you have questions about your animals that you want answered, join us for our Essential Oils Insiders group. You can learn more about that at revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders, revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders. Not only do you get these live Q&A exclusive calls with experts out there, we also have once a month a live Q&A session with just me and our insiders and an exclusive Facebook group for insiders as well. I hope you'll join us. Now let's thank our lovely sponsors. Now we're back with Lindsay Elmore on our Essential Oil Insiders exclusive live interview and Q&A session. Here's one of our questions that was asked directly to Lindsay. I'm dealing with a chronic skin rash of unknown cause that came up 3 months ago. No history of rashes except eczema as a child. Could be autoimmune, but patch skin testing was positive for fragrance mix 8%, referring product with a scent. Your thoughts on how to proceed with essential oils? Any essential oils that I can use without a scent?
Okay, so I do cover the fragrance mix in the essentials book. I'm not a huge fan of the fragrance mix because it is typically isolated chemical constituents found within essential oils and not whole essential oils. And it's also typically compounded within petrolatum. And so you've got your petrolatum jelly, which kind of sits on top of the skin and kind of occludes the top of the skin. It like blocks things from flowing. So here's my thing.
And that, sorry to cut you off, but so this fragrance mix, this is like a specific ingredient you're talking about that shows up on certain products?
No. So the fragrance mix is what is used to test for skin allergies.
Oh,
and so
okay.
It is specifically, so if you go to the doc and you show an allergy to the fragrance mix, a lot of physicians will just say, oh, you're allergic to all essential oils.
Ah, gotcha.
No, you're not. You're allergic. You're mildly allergic to the fragrance mix. And so I'm not a huge fan of the fragrance mix because it's isolated chemical constituents of oils. They're usually synthetic constituents of oils. And most of the time, the fragrance mix is either an injection, not typically how you use oil, or it is compounded in petrolatum. Not my favorite. So if you have someone say that you're allergic to all essential oils, if humans were allergic to all essential oils, we would not have made it this far, because the fact of the matter is we have been co-evolving with essential oils since the dawn of time. Whether you believe in a creationist history or whether you believe in an evolutionary history, plants came first. Plants came first before humans. And so essential oils have existed likely before humans. And even the earliest humans used aromatic plants in not religious ceremonies, but in honoring ceremonies such as births and death. So humans have been co-evolving with essential oils for many, many a year. You are not allergic to every essential oil. I can pretty much guarantee it. That said, it comes down to how bad is this allergy, okay? Is it a true type 1 mediated allergy where you're having huge histamine explosions, where you are sneezing, coughing, crying, itching, rashing, possibly even have a shortness of breath? Okay, that's bad. We want to avoid that essential oil. But is it what's more common, that you put the essential oil on your skin and you go, woo, that cinnamon a little bit hot? Okay. That is also part of a skin. You can have skin irritation from chemical constituents within oils. You can also have allergic reactions, but most of the time they're not true type 1 allergic reactions, which are the most dangerous reactions. They can't be type 2 or type 3 reactions. These have never been shown to happen with any essential oil. They are most commonly type 4 reactions. Well, type 4 reactions are a mild contact dermatitis or photosensitivity. Well, contact dermatitis happens upon exposures to metals, upon exposures to poison ivy, upon exposures to different leaves of plants. Can also occur with essential oils. What happens? You get a rash. It's not the end of the world. So if you are someone who's been struggling with a rash of unknown origin, there's a couple of things that I would like for you to ask yourself.
Let's hear them.
What's your stress level? Because if all of a sudden things that you have used in your life are all of a sudden causing you to break out, that's a problem that is more likely related to an acute change in your immune system than it is to be a true allergic reaction. So if your stress level has changed, this may change the way that your skin responds, because chronic stress really just messes up the way that our skin response takes place. So that's a big thing. The other thing is, are you using old oxidized essential oils? How do you know if your oil is oxidized? Well, does it smell funky? Does it smell like it always smelled? Did it used to be clear and thin and now it's thick and brown? These can be signs that your oil has oxidized. Oxidation increases the risk of skin irritation. The other thing you have to ask yourself is, are you trying to muscle your way through essential oils? Are you just saying, I am putting this lemongrass on my skin and I don't care how bad it burns? Don't be that guy. Dilute your essential oil is a much better way to do it. And so Right. Skin reactions to essential oils, definitely a real thing. In general, easy, easy, easy to take care of and to ensure that you are not having long-term adverse reactions.
And I think what I'm hearing too, Lindsay, is that if your friend walks in the door and they've applied essential oils to themselves that day, you're not going to die if you have been shown to have a reaction to a fragrance test.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the likelihood of having what are truly scary allergic reactions. Truly scary allergic reactions all involve the constriction of the breath.
Right.
The likelihood of having an airway constriction from an essential oil is, according to literature, extremely low. To the best of my research, there have been 3 case reports in all time and history. And one was a nurse got attacked on a psychiatric unit. So a psychiatric patient threw some essential oils in her face. Well, so we have some other things going on.
I think I would have a panic attack if that happened to me.
100%. I mean, it's really stressful working on psychiatric units. I can tell you, I thought I want to be a psychiatric pharmacist until I spent 6 weeks working in psychiatry. And then I was like, no, this is not for...
Those are angels there. Yeah.
Not for me. The people that work there, I am just amazed by. So here's the take-home message. The likelihood of having a true IgE-mediated breathing response is very, very low. Now, I take crap online all the time by people who claim that they have extraordinary allergies to every essential oil. And to them, I say, if that is true, it is critical that your story be told. You need to find a physician to write this up, or a pharmacist to write this up and publish it within the literature. If you truly have a sensitivity to essential oils that is so profound that you need to carry EpiPens, your voice needs to be added to the literature. And I tell people all the time when they criticize me, I'm like, look, I will change the way I teach tomorrow if you publish this in a reputable journal, all of a sudden I'll say, hey guys, we have 4 case reports now instead of 3. I would love to do that for you. I need your story published. So, you know, you've got to get that information into the literature if you want people to speak about it in a way that's meaningful.
All right. I've got a few more questions. We'll see how many we can get in here. I want to remind the people who are here on the live call. I want your questions answered first. You guys are hanging out.
I know, I love right? it. I know.
So don't be quiet. I have now allowed you to unmute yourself. So if you have a question, just don't be shy. Unmute yourself. If we're talking, don't worry. Just interrupt us. We'll shut up. It's fine. And there's also a chat box. So if you have a question, put it in the chat
box. Type it in.
Type it in. I'll move on with my questions, but please interrupt if you're on the live call and you have one. Okay, here's a good one about home testing. So some people are concerned about like essential oil quality. How do I tell if my oils are good quality? So do home tests such as freezing the oils or doing the paper drop test work for assessing essential oil quality or adulteration?
I think that there's a misnomer out there that people say, oh, you know, you can put an essential oil in the freezer and if it doesn't freeze, then it's guaranteed to be real. Not necessarily. And I think another big thing is everything freezes at some point. Everything has a freezing point. So it might take you getting down to 60 below zero, but everything has a freezing point. And so depending on which essential oil that you have, if you've got a myrrh essential oil, that darn thing at room temperature is already flipping hard to get out of the bottle. It's gelatinous already. It is a super viscous and thick oil. If you put that in the freezer and then you turn it up and 6 minutes later, you're like, oh, it froze. It's not real. Nope. It's just congealed even more. The same thing can happen with rose oil. I mean, rose oil, even at room temperature, sometimes you'll look at it and it's crystalline in structure. And so what do you have to do with rose? You got to actually warm it up to get it to flow out of the bottle. And so the freezing test, I'm not as convinced about. The paper test, you can pretty consistently tell if an essential oil has a fatty oil in it. But remember, fatty oils aren't always bad with an essential oil. Fatty oils are only bad when they're not displayed on the label.
Right. If someone's trying to pass off 100% essential oil and then they fill 3/4 of the bottle with, I don't know, what's a common example? Glycerin.
Almond oil or glycerin oil, or whatever.
Right. And they're trying to pass it off like it's 100%.
Yeah.
What happens on a paper test? What's that look like?
If you take an oil that contains a fatty oil, it's going to leave an oil slick. If you take a pure essential oil and drop it onto a paper towel, eventually all of that will evaporate off. However, if you have an oil like a myrrh or even like a lemon or an orange, which has a pigment, some of those pigments may get left on the page. And that's just because pigments don't rise as rapidly into the air. But if you get a really nice, clean, white oil like a lavender or something and drop it on a paper towel, eventually all of those molecules are going to lift away and the oil slick, which is not a slick because it's not fatty oil in that same way, will eventually lift off of the page. And so yes and no to these questions.
To most questions today. Yeah. Most questions in life are yes or no, right?
For sure.
Thank you so much again, Lindsay, for coming on and sharing with us.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode and gotten a peek into what it's like in our Essential Oil Insiders group. You can check it out. Everyone can join for free for their first 30 days. Go to revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders to learn more. Again, that's revolutionoilspodcast.com/insiders. We'll see you here next week where we'll be talking to Christina Valadez all about essential oils for breastfeeding and postpartum. So if you know any moms out there or soon-to-be moms out there, share this podcast with them. Until next time, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.